Well, good morning again. It's going to be a fun day. Can you tell? We're just so excited that you're here. A couple of things real quick. Let me just remind you, because I kind of got sidetracked and didn't talk about it. But there's a couple of things I want to make sure that you know about. One is this communication card that you find in the seat back in front of you. It's a place where you can just connect with us and we can connect with you. If you'll fill that out make sure that at the end of the service you got it out ready to just answer some questions, take some next steps with us. I want to invite you to do that. And then when you're done with it, you can just take it back to the back and just drop it right in the giving box that's back there. And you can put prayer requests and all kinds of things. It's a way that helps us just know how we can minister to you. And so we want to be able to do that. So I want to invite you to take part of that. This is your program. You received that when you came in. And one of the things about that is that there are some notes on the back that give you an opportunity to just follow along. And so I want to invite you to pull that out and get ready to just go along with us as we kind of navigate today's message. I think it's a great way to be able to take something out of here and then kind of chew on it all week long and let God just use it in your life. And so make sure that you've got that out. Also on the other side, just got some good announcements and things you can kind of keep up with what's going on around here. So if today's your first day with us, hey, we want you to take yours and just take it out to the Resource Center, because there's a gift for you out there. It's just a way of us saying thank you for being here with us. So make sure that you do that. So today we're going to begin a brand new series that I'm really excited about. Not that I don't get excited about all of them, but this one is one that, you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that sometimes you have to, when God's kind of taking you through some things and you're kind of struggling with things or you're kind of learning kind of the hard way yourself, one of the greatest ways to kind of move along in that is as a pastor is to begin to talk about those things. And God's kind of led me to this series that we're going to be in the next few weeks called I Choose. And it's about some choices that we all have to make. And so I want us to be able to kind of go through it and be able to just kind of grow through it, because it's one of the things that I find when people end up in my office talking about whatever they want to talk about, whatever's going on with them, I can always trace it back to this, to the choices. Because what are we today? Today, we're kind of a culmination of all of our choices from the past to now, right? Our choices have kind of made us who we are and put us where we are. You have the job that you have because you chose the job that you have, and may not be the one that you want to end up with, but that's where you're at. You know, you've made choices to be there, and so that's, choices are a big part of us. And who are we going to be tomorrow? What will be some of the choices we made today with the past? And so wherever you want to be, you need to understand that choices are what help you get there and help you understand what's going on with you. And so this series is going to be really good. Next week, I'll just give you a kind of a teaser. If you happen to be a control freak, like I sometimes tend to be, just being transparent, if you happen to be a control freak, next week is for you. You need to get here and come and grab a front row seat, because then you'll feel like you're in control probably or something. But you need to be here, because we're going to talk about that and look at what does the Bible say? What does it mean to choose surrender over control? Because I think that's a really key thing for us to know and to understand, especially as we submit to what God wants for us. And so this series is going to be really good as we kind of get along in it. But let me do this. Let's get started with today. What I want you to do is I want everybody to close your eyes. Okay? I promise not to throw nothing or spray you with anything. All right? Just trust me. Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine with me that everybody is happy with you. I want you to imagine that despite the choices that you've made, everybody is pleased with you. Everybody thinks you're awesome. Think about it. Imagine with me. Everybody thinks that you're it, because you're just, they're so happy and pleased and content with you. You're on top. And now open your eyes. I hope you enjoyed that. Because that's the only time that you're ever going to feel that way. It's the only time that everybody's going to be happy with you. It's the only time that everybody's going to be pleased with what you do. It's the only time that you're going to be able to just think for a second that everybody really does like what you do. It's just, it's one of those things that we kind of go through. Many of us know that it's just completely impossible to please everybody all the time. You can't do it. I think we all know that's impossible, but I would bet that for most of us, we don't live like we think it's impossible because we try to do it. We wear ourselves to the bone trying to please everybody all the time. And I'm telling you, it's one of the things that I see burnout in so many people in so many different ways. It's why marriages sometimes get to this point of breaking down because one of them has been trying to please the other one so much that now they're just worn out and they can't try any longer. And so we find ourselves in this situation. But what I want us to really talk about is, as we go into it, I want to talk about something that I think, that I believe is really at the heart of what God wants for us. And it's not that this thing is completely possible. It's that we find ourselves trying to please God rather than everybody else. And that when we please God, then take our focus off of trying to please everybody else, then we truly get to become who we're meant to be, and we truly get to then begin to focus on the purpose that God has for us. I think it's one of those times that we need to understand that God's He does have a purpose and a plan. And so today I want to talk about I choose purpose over popularity. Purpose over popularity. Say this with me. Say, I choose purpose over popularity. I choose purpose over popularity. Do you really mean it? All right, so let's say it together like we really want to make this choice. Say, I choose purpose over popularity. All right, so here's the thing. If we're going to do that, then we need to understand some things. We need to begin to learn some things about what purpose is and what you know, where, why we're here, what we're meant to be done, because I think so many of us, we spend time trying to be popular. Maybe it's not that we just want, you know, we want a stage to stand on. It's not that we want to be recognized. We just want everybody to be happy with us. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble and begin to do it. I think by default, we just do the opposite of choosing purpose over popularity. We talked about a couple weeks ago, we're wired for relationships. And that's one of the reasons that we do what we do and how we do some of the things that we do. We're wired that way. And so we're wired to have these relationships that make us feel good and that we feel like we're making others feel good. Really, when it comes down to it, though, the relationship we've got to focus on is not those relationships, but it's the relationship we have with God. It's to help us be able to do that. That song that they were singing a few minutes ago, I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's really saying, you know what, I'm not a slave because I'm afraid for what would it be like to not have everybody like me. And so we become slaves to that. We become afraid of what that looks like. But that second line is kind of the key, that we don't have to be a slave to fear, that we can recognize that we're a child of God. And that is a powerful statement for us to be able to understand, that we've got to be able to get to that place. That the problem of it is, though, that sometimes we get wrapped up in this whole purpose thing. And what we're focused on is the big P purpose of our lives, right? The purpose. Like, why am I on earth? You know, people say, you know, I want to know why do I exist? And we want this big purpose answer. We want to know this overarching kind of thing. But, you know what? I think if we would begin to realize that there's that our big P purpose is made up of our little P purposes. That it's made up not of the big overarching thing, but it's made up of the purposes that we exist for in the moments. That when we begin to realize that there are small P purposes that we face every day in every situation, that if we could begin to revel in those and to be able to be obedient in those, that then I believe the overarching purpose of our life really becomes very clear. See, sometimes that means that it's about the person you're talking to today and how you can be an encouragement to them. For it's the person that you come across who's struggling and how you can maybe have a word for them to help them understand what's going on in their life, to be able to give them hope to get out of where they're at, to be able to be used right where you are, not in this grand scheme of things, but in the day-to-day things that we all encounter every single day. Many of us want to know what the big P purpose is, but we can't even get the little P's right. But we can't even get the day-to-day things right. And I believe that until we can begin to do that, that God's not going to reveal that big purpose for us. He's not going to allow us to really get down to it. We become so wrapped up in what's going on around us and who likes us and who doesn't like us and who thinks we're doing a good job and who doesn't think we're doing a good job. And we want people to like our status. You know, I've never seen so many people get upset because somebody just didn't like their status on Facebook. And you know, they get discouraged because they only got 15 likes rather than 150 likes. But we've all done it. We've all posted stuff and gone back to check to see who's liked it, right? Because we want to know. We want the approval of all those people. We want the approval of our friends. We want the approval of the people that we work for and work with. And we want the approval of people we go to school with. And we want approval of the people we live beside. And we want approval of everybody else. We want to know who's following us where. And, you know, have you been on my Instagram account? You know, do you think that my car is nice? Do you think that my house is nice? Do you think this about me? Do you think that about me? Do you like me? Do you really like me? Do you really like me? We get so wrapped up into that part of our lives that before long, many of us, before we even know it, we're not living for the purpose, the real person we should be looking for and the real relationship we should want to have, but we're stuck into these relationships around us that oftentimes don't lead us anywhere and certainly can lead us away from where God wants us to be. We become so stuck on, do I fit in? Am I good enough? Do I measure up? Do you approve of me? We're trying to find our meaning in what other people think about us, and we forget what God has already said about us and how He's already proven our worth. You know, if you want to know the purpose of something, then you can't ask the something. You got to ask the person that created the something. Because it was created for a reason. And so the thing may not be able to give you the reason, but I bet you the person that created it can. And we're trying to get our value and our meaning and purpose from people that didn't create us. And we need to focus on the one who did and what He says about us. Here's the thought for the day. Here's the overarching thing, that living for the approval of people keeps you from the purposes of God. Living for the approval of people keeps you from the purposes of God. It keeps you from being who He created you to be. Anytime we're consumed with what people think about us, we tend to forget what God thinks about us. It's the fastest way to forget who you are as that child of God is to start worrying about what other people are thinking about you. And guess what? We all do it. We all find ourselves there. So today I want to help us to be able to make some choices that are going to help us to choose purpose over popularity. It's a great example in the scriptures of someone who did that. In the book of Hebrews, we read about the writer of Hebrews is talking about Moses from the Old Testament, and he's writing about him. If you don't know the story of Moses, I'll give it to you real quick here. He was a Hebrew, the child of a Hebrew slave. The children are getting ready to be wiped out, and so his mom puts him in a basket, sends him down. He's found by Pharaoh's daughter, and then she adopts him and raises him up as her own. So he goes from being the son of a slave to the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, he's got it made. All the best training, all the best education, all the best of everything he gets to experience now. But it's very interesting that what Moses chooses to do with that. He could have lived a lavish life, but he gave that up for the calling on his life rather than the comfort of all of that stuff. Hebrews 11, verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter." He chose, right? He chose. It means he made a choice. You and I make choices. Moses made one. Here's what he chose. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater than all of that. Think about how many times you and I have disregarded the favor of God to get somebody to like us. Man, I've got a list of stuff I could give you that I've done so that people would like me rather than God would like me. I mean, we do it. So it's something that we all do, but Moses chose purpose over popularity, and I believe that that's what we've got to bring ourselves to be able to do. Purpose becomes this thing, as we talked about, it becomes the fact that we want to know this big overarching thing for our lives, but really we need to understand the purposes that we find ourselves every day. It means that maybe today or tomorrow when you go into work, you know what? That means instead of being a jerk to your boss who's crazy or whatever, that you may have to choose to be kind to him in order for him to be able to see Christ in you. That you may have to choose, rather than getting up close to him, right? With me? Some of you will get it. After a while, you'll be like, oh, that's what he meant. But for some of us, we've been a little too close to the boss, and we've been overlooking the things that he does and the things that he says because we want him to like us and we want to have a good job. But the truth is that we need to be real about who we are in Christ and maybe not put up with some of the stuff that he's doing. That means that instead of being popular with him, we may have to focus on our purpose and be a Christ-like example to him. It means that for some of us, we're going to have to make choices and do things differently than we've been doing it because we know that God wants to use us where we are. It means that we may not have to post all that stuff on Facebook to get people to like us and to give us attention because things aren't the way we want them to be. That instead of being on Facebook posting, we need to be on our knees praying. It may mean that our purpose is to overcome our popularity. We need to be focused on who God wants us to be rather than who people want us to be. Purpose is important for us to be able to live out this life that he's given us. And we're called to make a difference. There is power. There is power in purpose. There is power knowing that you're doing what God's called you to do. And it may not be popular to do it. But let me give you some thoughts today on the power of purpose. Just three simple thoughts, and we're going to spend some time on it. And so if you're ready, say, I'm ready. That didn't sound like you were very ready. If you're ready, say, I'm ready.
Ready.
All right, thank you. First one is this: purpose diminishes distractions. The power of purpose is that purpose diminishes distractions. It takes us away from some of the things that get in the way. One of the biggest distractions in our lives is what? It's comparing ourselves, isn't it? We compare ourselves to everybody else. Man, they're already out of college, and I'm on the 11-year plan. You know, I was on the 6-year plan, and I looked around and saw some of the people that, you know, were already out making money, and I was still kind of digging through it, you know? And I was like, man, they got it. That's good for them, you know? Some people are looking around saying, you know what? They're already married. Why aren't I married? They already got kids. I don't have kids. And we're spending all of our time comparing ourselves for reasons that really at the end don't make much of a difference, but we're comparing ourselves, and it becomes a distraction because we start to look at what we should do to fix those things rather than look at what God wants for us. We find ourselves looking away from God. We begin to look at ourselves, but purpose can diminish comparison. It can take us away from those distractions that get us focused on other things. One of the great examples of this is in the scriptures is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was, you know, he had been taken away. He was an exile from his homeland. He had this job, you know, that was kind of a cushy job for the king. But yet at the same time, he had this longing to see his homeland restored, that he wanted to see the walls of the city rebuilt. He wanted to see things at home better. And it began to really mess with him. He was broken because of that. And here's the thing. Anytime that you find yourself upset and broken or righteously angry about something, that's a key that could be one of the purposes that God wants to use you for. And when you find yourself there like Nehemiah did, then you need to be willing to do something about it. And Nehemiah said, you know what, I'm going to ask the king, I want to go back. The king sends him back and he goes to work. He begins to rebuild the wall. He's out there on a ladder or whatever, a scaffolding, and he's putting stones on the wall. And along comes two of his buddies who say, man, this isn't going to happen. You're never going to get this done. What are you doing? What's the deal here? And we need you to come down. We need to talk about this. And Nehemiah, as he's working, says, you know what? I don't have time for this. I'm busy. I'm doing something that God wants me to do. I'm accomplishing the task that God's given me. I don't have time to go and have a meeting with you. I need to get this done because there is work to be done. And these guys are messing with him. But because Nehemiah stayed focused on the purpose, he got over the distraction. He was able to stay focused in on what God wanted him to do. For I believe for some of us, we need to internalize that there's things that God wants us to do and we can't get distracted with all the other mess. We need to stay focused in on what the task is at hand. What is it for you? You got to find those things. What you know he's got you worked up about, that he wants to see you, that you know that he wants to see you be a part of, you got to get ready to be a part of it. And when you find on those purposes, those small p purposes to keep you going, then distractions will be minimized, because that's what purpose does. It keeps us focused. I think about that so often. You know, kind of pastoring the church, you know, I think about sometimes we look at it and, you know, pastors play, it's all about the numbers, right? Pastors, you know, you got 100 people in your church, you ask a pastor, he's got 200 people in his church. You know, that's the way we work. You know, how many salvations did you have? We had 10, well, it'd be 20 if you ask a pastor. You know, we're pretty good at blowing things up. And so people are always asking, you know, well, how many people do you have in your church? And so I try to be pretty close without just outright lying. But you know, we do that. And so sometimes when you tell people that, they kind of look at you funny. And they're like, well, you know, I go to such and such church and we have this many people. Well, good. But you know what? My purpose is to be where I'm at. And as long as I stay focused on my purpose, you know what? It doesn't matter if we have 100, doesn't matter if we have 200 or if we have 2,000. The purpose will always be the same, right? We've got to stay focused. We can't let distractions get us away, because the moment we get distracted with, oh, we only have whatever, then we get stuck with trying to do too much, and then we miss out on what God's really trying to do within what we have. Purpose diminishes distractions when we get stuck in the things that He wants to do in our lives. Maybe it's for you. Maybe you're trying to get out of debt, you know, and you keep seeing the commercials pop up, you know, for a new credit card. Or man, you know what? I see these Audi commercials. I'm like, man, I could get up more mountain with that thing. You know what I'm saying? That thing would cut that one corner like crazy. You know, buy a car just to go up more mountain. That's pretty sad. But anyway, but I like that Audi car. You know, it just looks smooth on TV. And I'm thinking, man, I'd look good in that. That'd make a good pastor's car, you know. But you know what? If I want to get out of debt, that Audi ain't going to get me out of it. I'm going to have to stay with the 2003 Volvo S60. You know, that runs some of the time. So thanks to Darren back there. It does. Of course, I need him to, anyway, never mind. So, but you know what? Those are the things that you got to think about. You can't be worried about what people think about what you drive when you know that you owe a lot of money somewhere else. You can't get distracted. But if you have your purpose in mind, you won't pay attention to those things. Like, I'm not going to the Audi dealer. It just wouldn't work. So I'm going to avoid that distraction because my purpose is greater than that. Your purpose diminishes distractions, and you got to quit worrying about and living for the approval of others. You can't let that begin to distract you. The second thing is this: the purpose pushes you through the pain. Purpose pushes you through the pain. Things are going to be painful sometime. When you have purpose, it gives you motivation to keep going when things hurt. How many of you know that when you are trying to accomplish things the right way and the things you're supposed to do, it's painful. It's going to hurt. Not everybody's going to like it. The pathway to your purpose is always paved with pain. It's just one of those things that we go through. Because sometimes to achieve what God wants to achieve, that means that sometimes there's got to be some scraping that goes on. It's like trying to get something to heal up. You got to get the bad stuff off of there so the good stuff can grow. You got to be able to withstand the pain. Everybody went through it in the Bible. There's not one exception of somebody who was achieving God's purpose for their life that didn't go through something painful. Moses, David, Esther, the list goes on. It's painful. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to have to understand that there is pain, but purpose can push you through the pain. You know, one of the things I know about that purpose is that, and that pain is, that's a good thing. I know it's hard to believe pain's good, but you know what? The absence of pain, when you're trying to do what God's telling you to do, you need to go back and make sure you're doing what God told you to do. Because sometimes it's not always, there's an enemy who doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. And that enemy will always keep things stirred up. And you need to be aware of that. You need to understand that it's going to be tough sometimes to do what God wants you to do. But you can't do it. If you stay focused on your purpose, then it will help you push through the pain. The purpose and the reward of that pain has to be what drives you there. There is greater value in fulfilling the purpose for your life than living for the approval of others and trying to make people happy. I think about the purpose of childbirth. Now, I know today's Father's Day, And we're supposed to be celebrating dads. But guys, come on. We know that who the real hero is when it comes to childbirth. Because would none of us put up with that? Could none of us take it? Women are the one. They push through childbirth. And if you hadn't ever been a part of it, let me just tell you, it's painful to watch. Let alone go through. I can't imagine what it's like. And I'm telling you, we'd be huddled up crying for mama. I about passed out, from Kelly squeezing my hands while she was getting the epidural. I know I couldn't handle the rest of the pain. But it's tough. But what's the reward? That baby. And being able to hold him and know that you created it. And so women push through it because they know that the reward of that purpose is greater. And so it pushes them through to get there. Plus, you can't go back after at that point. But I'm just saying, anyway. But they just know that there's a reward coming. And so they're able to get through it. And trust me, if you've ever been in one of them rooms, they say and do some things that other people wouldn't approve of. They call some names and they say and do some things that they wouldn't do out in front of everybody else given a different circumstance. Some of them come out quite embarrassed after they realize what they've said and done. But the fact is, at that moment, the purpose pushed them through the pain. They weren't worried about what everybody was thinking. They just knew that there was something that needed to be accomplished. And for you and I, when it comes to doing what God wants, there is a greater purpose, and we've got to be able to push through the pain. We've got to be able to hurt a little bit. I struggle with that sometimes. I want it to be smooth. I want it to just happen. But the truth is, it's going to hurt. But if I stay focused on what God wants me to do, I'll be able to get through it. And you will too. Got to be able to withstand it. Push through, because you know God's got something greater for you. Purpose, it diminishes distractions. Purpose pushes you through the pain. And purpose empowers you to please God. Purpose empowers you to please God. That's where Moses got. He realized that if he would do what he did, and that if he would choose purpose over popularity, that God would be pleased with him. He knew that was a greater reward, that was a greater accomplishment than having Pharaoh like him. He faced all sorts of opposition to get there, but he knew that he was pleasing God. And so that was what got him there. His purpose empowered him to please God. I think about in the New Testament when Peter and John are out and they're preaching the gospel, and the religious leaders say, "You can't say that name again. We don't want you preaching that name. We don't want you out, sharing that name out in public. You can't preach that name anymore." It's funny, 2,000 years later, they're still telling us we can't preach that name, we can't say that name. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? But here's the thing. Those guys said, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. And I think today we got to be willing to say, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. Peter and John are there. These guys are telling them, hey, don't do that. You got to do it different. You got to do it this way. We want you to do it our way, because this is the way. And here's what they said in Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "You must obey God. We must obey God rather than human beings." Church is one of those places that I think sometimes we get so wrapped up into obeying people rather than God. We think that there's supposed to be this thing where we have to please everybody in the church rather than doing what God wants us to do. We've got to be careful that we don't get sucked into that vacuum, because that's where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to get distracted with trying to please everybody rather than following God and doing the things that he wants us to do. That's why churches end up becoming, really just kind of living cemeteries, right? that everybody's just there so they can keep their plot. It's because they're more worried about taking care of and pleasing themselves and everybody around them than doing what God's called them to do. And to bring new people in to share the gospel with people around them and minister in their community. That's the thing. When we forget about people in the church, then we begin to get focused on the strategies and all of that stuff. We miss out on what God's called us to do. Listen, I'm telling you, one of the things I'm so excited about is how Yuari has baptized, I think we're up to like 9 people now for the year. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot because we're like halfway through the year. But listen, there's churches around us that hadn't baptized 9 people in 9 years. God's doing some stuff. Just this morning, somebody was sharing a conversation that how God was moving in that conversation. And there was this really neat spirit amongst it and how God's moving. I'm thinking, why are we so focused on so many other things in the church instead of one-on-one conversations where we can minister to people where they are and love people where they are and begin to share Christ? I'm just telling you, if you're in this room and you're a believer in Jesus and you haven't shared Jesus with a person in the last 6 months, shame on you. That's pretty strong, right? That's a pretty strong statement. But how can we say that we're following God and doing what He wants us to do if we're not even sharing the gospel? His last words were, go and tell people. How are we not going and telling people? That ain't going to sit well with some people. I can promise you that. That ain't going to be a popular statement. But you know what? The purpose of seeing people come to Jesus is greater than popularity. We need to get serious about it. Who in your family needs to hear the gospel? We haven't shared it with them. Who do you work with that needs to be saved, that's lost, and we haven't told them about Jesus? When was the last time you asked somebody, hey, how can I pray for you? I got to tell you that this purpose thing has been eating at me all week long. It's been chewing me up. There's times where I thought I was going to be chewed up and spit out. I'm just telling you. I was convicted of things that in my own life and things that I see around me that I'm like, man, we're missing the purpose. We're trying to be, we're trying to do church rather than be church. What is it God wants for us? John, Peter and John, man, they said, listen, we got to look at what God wants. I think we get consumed sometimes with thinking about pleasing people. Become kind of pathetic images of ourselves when we get so focused on that. As a leader, sometimes I gotta confess that I haven't been the pastor to some people that I know I need to be the pastor to because I tried to please them. I want them to like me. I can't be that though. That's not what God called me to be. Not what He called any of us to be. It's a heavy message. Strong words. But absolutely what the Bible tells us. And so are we choosing purpose or are we choosing popularity? Living to please people keeps us from the purposes of God. It will keep you from being who God wants you to be. Moses said this, and in verse 26, it talks about him. It says, Moses he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Egypt was like the stuff. At that point, it was the greatest nation. He says that he regarded it as greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to what God had for him as his reward. Let me ask you, what reward are you looking forward to? Is it the one that where everybody's going to like you? Because guess what you ain't never going to get? There is no trophy that says everybody likes you. We'll never get that one. But we absolutely can gain a crown that says God's pleased with you. That we can please Him by doing what He asks us to do. It takes faith. We've got to have faith and believe, because without faith it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. We've got to believe Him and trust Him for that He can do the things in our lives that He wants to do. He can do the things in your family that He wants to do you. He can do the things in our church that we want Him to do. He can do those things as we trust Him and believe in Him to be who He said He is and follow Him the way that He asked us to follow Him. When you're getting out of debt, you got to make some sacrifices. People are going to say, why are you doing that? And your purpose has to be why you do that. For some, fostering a child, man, people are going to ask you, that your child? Because it may not look like you. But you got to be able to explain to them, yes, it's your child for the moment. You're there. You're it. You got to be able to avoid the stairs, and you got to love people through it, and you got to be willing to know that your purpose is greater than your popularity. When you serve Jesus and your friends make fun of you, your purpose has got to be greater so that you can be all that He wants you to be. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, we make choices, and they lead us to where we find ourselves. Are we going to choose purpose over popularity? We're going to choose what God wants for us, or we're going to choose what people think of us? I think He's calling us very clearly to follow Him as hard as we can after Him and the things that He has for us. On your program at the bottom are some next steps that you can take, and invite you to take those with me this week. I'll just spend some time with this, and maybe you might need some other paper. But I want you to think about what's your main purpose? What's he doing in you right now? What's your main distraction? Because we got them. What's your greatest pain in trying to fulfill that purpose? And then to choose purpose, then I will what? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to allow God to change within you to see your purpose fulfilled? Man, I'm telling you, in this room, this room is full of people that God could do amazing things through if we would just simply get on the same page with Him and realize that purpose, His purpose is the greatest thing we can have. Change the world. Change our community. And change everything around us. If we could just get serious about what it is that He wants to do in us and through us. God, I pray today that You would just continue to move in our hearts. God, I know that message is, I know it's tough. God, You and I know, You know how we've wrestled this week over where am I choosing those things and trusting people more than I'm trusting You. God, today I want people to like me. I want people to love me, God. But I want You to be pleased with me way more. So God, help me. Help me to see those things that You want me to do. Help me see the compassion I need in situations. Help me see the words that I need. Help me to just know that I'm following You. And God, that I pray that as if it's just the prayer for me. But God, that's the prayer that I pray for each one of us here today, that we would be willing to just let You do whatever it is in us that You want to do. God, I just ask that You would move today. God, maybe somebody here today, and they've never come to a place of acknowledging that free gift of salvation that You offer, that where You sent Your Son Jesus to come and die on a cross to pay the price for our sins, and God, to pay that price so we could be freed of the penalty of sin, and God, that He died on that cross, He was buried in a tomb and raised again on the third day by You with all Your power and love. so they could be forgiven and set free for eternity. God, maybe somebody in the room today needs to accept that truth and that, and to accept that gift that you offer them. Maybe today somebody's here and they accepted that gift, but they've been more worried about everybody else than worried about you and what you think. And so God, if that's the case, then I pray they would just confess that to you. You say you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we confess them to you, God. And I pray that would happen in this place, God. God, I pray that lives would be changed. I pray marriages would be strengthened because people are willing to accept purpose and choose purpose over popularity. God, I pray that we'd be willing to get out of our ruts of trying to please others and God, just experience the freedom of serving and pleasing you. So God, I pray in these next moments that you'll just do whatever needs to be done. If people need to come forward and just pray, then God, let them be free to do that. God, if they need to come and speak with me or Pastor Eddie, I pray that they would just come. But God, today we can't choose what pleases people. We got to choose what pleases you. So I pray that you'll just help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.